With us into the book of John again. The book of John, chapter number 4. And you pray for us again tonight. I always ask that you pray for us as we preach, and God would help us in this. I can't do nothing than myself. I can't preach. I can't sing. We can't do nothing without Him. And we need His touch tonight. I need His presence tonight. And you help us pray tonight, God, move in our midst tonight. And I've been kind of excited in a way to get on back into this because we're getting into another section a little bit. We changed just a little bit from what we've been studying. It seems like for weeks upon weeks we've been talking about water and wells and stuff like that, gifts. And it's really been good. I've enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but I've really been enjoying it. But tonight we're going to change gears just a little bit and look at how the conversation between this woman at the well there and Jesus changed just a little bit. It's changed just a hair there. And we'll look at a little bit of that. We'll pick up about verse number 15. Tonight is where we want to pick up. I'm not going to go back into that other scripture, because if I go back in there, we'll get bogged down again, and I'll stay there again, okay? So we're going to move on, try to go from verses 15 on through. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to read verses 13 down through about, read on down into verse 24, maybe somewhere in there. And we'll just take our text there in verse 15. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's Word tonight. The book of John, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading about verse number 13. The Bible says here, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water shall be in him that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Somebody shout amen. They're glad to God. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I got that well inside of me. Amen. And it just gets stirred up, gets gushing out. Amen. Verse 15. Then the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where the men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's read on. Verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he shall tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long suffering. God, I thank you just for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, just to be amongst you people. Lord, I just want to give you honor and give you glory tonight. Lord, we know tonight we're nothing. We don't claim to be. Lord, we know, Lord, we're just old sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you'd look our way one day. Lord, that you'd look our way tonight. Come this way, set in our midst. Father, let us feel your presence, oh God. Thank you, God, for just being able, God, to be here with your presence around us, Father. It is a privilege, and we sure do thank you for that. Lord, bless, I pray tonight, Father, in me, in the message. Lord, I pray your power and spirit overshadow us. Lord, I pray you'd bind my tongue, Lord, and speak the words that needs to be heard here tonight. Dear God, please anoint my voice that I might be able to lift it to the heavens. I might be able to preach the way you'd see fit. Oh, God, give us fresh oil and fresh unction tonight that we might be able, God, to say the words, Lord, that you would like to have heard here tonight. Lord, use us for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray. Take the word of God, Lord, may it go out in the hearts of you people, Lord, to find lodging places that it might bring forth repentance. Lord, we ask, Lord, have you will in your way, whatever's accomplished. Father, we give you praise that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
In verse number 15 is kind of where we want to start tonight. And the reason I say this, that he's changing gears a little bit right here, is because we kind of notice, if you will, in the scriptures that we've already studied back about verse number 9 down to about verse number 14 there, that it's been a conversation basically between Jesus and this woman about drink and about water and about being thirsty and about longing for something, if you will. I guess if I maybe could put it this way, just kind of laying the foundation for moving ahead, this woman has realized when she gets to verse number 15 there that she needs something. She's realized that she's thirsty. She realizes that she's had to come back to the well many times for that physical water, and yet that physical water has not quenched her thirst. And there's a longing there that God has, or that Jesus has shown her in this, all the way down to verse number 14. And then in verse number 15, we find this woman looks and she says this, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And this woman, I believe, in my opinion, you read every all kind of commentaries, and one of them said, as I read some of these commentaries, it said that she was trying to make fun, that she didn't really believe him at this time, and she was trying to make fun of him. Some said that she was very sincere at what she was saying, even though she didn't really understand it, that she was very sincere about it. I tend to lean towards the latter there myself. I believe she really knew that she needed something. And whatever it was that Jesus had, she realized she needed. She probably didn't understand what he's talking about, as spiritual water and water springing up, as fountains inside of her. She probably didn't realize exactly that. But I'm going to be honest with you, church, if you'll think back when you got saved, you're in the same boat, amen. You didn't know exactly what you needed. All you know is you needed Jesus, amen. All you know is you needed him. Can I say to you tonight, amen, we ought to realize tonight that there's a lot of folk out there that don't even know what they need, but all they've got to do is realize they need Jesus tonight, amen. And if we realize tonight we need Jesus, amen, I believe it'll help us, amen. And those that are lost and undone, if they'll realize they need Jesus, he will save their soul, amen. Thank God, I'm glad for that. So as we look in verse number 15 here tonight, we find that this woman here, she has finally realized that she does need something. She don't know exactly what it is, but she's crying out to Jesus, and she says, "Sir, please give me this water. Please, whatever it is, whether it's water or whatever it is, give me this." And I believe that she really is sincere about that. But at this moment in time, this woman has finally come to this place where she is realizing that she does need something. But in order to attain that she needs, Jesus needs to bring her to a place that she really, if you let me allow me to put it this way, she needs to consider herself. Now you remember we've been preaching over the title, if you will, that Jesus knew her and that he knows all about us. And I've given you many things, and I'm not going to go back into them. One of them was he knew her pedigree, in other words, where she came from. He knew her patriarch Jacob there. We've been talking a lot about that. And as we began to look at this, verse 16, I thought about here, he knows her past. He knows everything about her. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, he knows everything about you tonight. Amen. He knows your past. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're doing. Amen. He knows exactly what's been in your life. Amen. In the past. And that's exactly where this woman's at. But what has to happen is Jesus has to bring her to this place where she realizes her past. Amen. And I'm going to show you in just a minute not only her past, but he's going to show her present. Amen. In other words, exactly where she's at. And I believe I could sum it up and say this real, real easy-like and real simple-like. In order for you to get saved, you've got to get lost. Amen. In order for you to get saved, you've got to get lost. You've got to get to the place that you realize that you're nothing more than an old wretched sinner dying and going to hell, and so that you'll cry out to Jesus. Well, that's right exactly where this woman's at up until this point in verse number 15 there. And when she comes to this place, all she knows is she needs Jesus. She don't realize what her life is. She don't realize where she's at, how wretched she is, how sinful she is, until Jesus reveals that to her. Do you remember the night when he revealed it to you? Amen. Do you remember the night when he come by your way and he showed you just how wretched you was and just how sinful you was? Amen. I say glory to God for that night. Amen. You say, preacher, you mean that was a good night? You better believe it. Because until he did that to me, I couldn't get saved. Amen. Until he revealed myself to me, I couldn't get saved. But he did. Amen. And thank God he saved my soul. And I know he did yours if you cried out to him. Amen. Thank God for that. And that's where this woman's at. As I see on down in Scripture, I picture myself in every part of this as where we were as wretched sinners before we got saved. This might be a revival message. Amen. This might be revival Scripture. Amen. Because I've said this many times, if you want true revival, you've got to go back to where you were at. We got to get back to that place where Jesus came into our heart and saved us, and how precious it was that night. I mean, I don't know about you, but that night, if I'd have got a hold of the President of the United States, I'd have witnessed to him. Amen. I mean, I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to tell him about what Jesus had done for me. Everybody. I wanted them to know what Jesus had done for me. It'd be good for us to get back to that place. And if we'll take this Scripture and realize where this lady, this woman is at, I believe it'll stir something in us, and we'll be able to say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Amen. Notice with me verse number 16. The Bible said in verse number 16 here, he says, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. All right, he's bringing her right to the place of where her past is at. In other words, bringing her right exactly to where she's living. Now, I thought about this. If there's anything that I see in this Scripture, again, it's that Jesus knows her. Listen, there's many things that he could have looked to her and told her to do. He could have told her many things. I mean, you look through the Scriptures, all the things that he told all the people to do. If you remember the blind man, told him to go down there and wash in Jordan there, you know. And he went down there and washed, amen. And he got to talking about how that's muddy, Jordan, amen. And I thought about that. And I thought about anything that God tells you to do, you better do it, amen. You better do it. But this lady, it was one thing that was causing her to stop, if you will, to keep from getting that water, and that was where she was living. Amen. That was where she was living. He told her there, said, go call your husband, because he knew that she wasn't married. He knew that she had already had five husbands. He knew all about this, but she had to realize it herself. Now, I want everybody to listen to me very closely tonight. Before you get saved, you better realize where you're living. Amen. You better realize what you're doing. You better realize where you're at. Amen. I do believe that. Now, as we look at verse 16, I'm amazed that Jesus knew this. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. In other words, he sent her to do something. Now, we would almost look at this in kind of amazement and think, well, why did he turn her away? Why didn't he go already and give her that water that he is talking about? Why didn't he go ahead and give it to her right then? I say one more time, he's got to take her back to where she realizes she needs that water. She's already got to the place she realizes there's something there, but she's got to get herself where she's living up to that point before she can accept that. Hey, listen to me tonight. We've got to get to the place where we know that we need him. Amen. And our life is not fulfilled without him. Amen. I remember when I was a 14-year-old boy, I remember how the only thing I know is I needed Jesus. Amen. I remember sitting back on the pew, and boy, I couldn't wait till he gave an altar call and got up out of the pew, come to the altar. I couldn't wait. Amen. Why, preacher? Because I'd realized my sinful condition. I'd realized where I was living. I realized I needed Jesus. Amen. Amen. Notice verse 17. The Bible says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. He knew just exactly, didn't he? I like this. I don't know about you, but I like this. She tried her best. She said there, I don't have a husband. He said, you're exactly right. You don't have a husband. He looks in us. He knows us. You know what she's trying to, I believe she might have been trying to hide it from somebody, but she couldn't hide it from him. Amen. Verse number 18. He said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, is in that thou saidest truly. He said there, you've got five husbands. Now, this woman, I'm not going to say why she had the five husbands. You can study it and you can figure it out on your own. That's all I know to tell you, okay? Because if you study the history, if she had been in adultery five times, they would have stoned her according to the Samaritan law or the Jewish law. They were to be stoned to death. May not have been that. It may have been the man put her away. I don't know. So I'm not going to argue there. All I know is she'd had five husbands. Amen. Lord help her is all I know. Somebody say amen. You ladies need to say amen right there. Huh? I'm telling you, she'd had five husbands. I don't understand that, okay? She's in sad shape. Say amen. She's in sad shape. Amen. She'd done had five husbands. But the one, I think the main thought here is the one that she is living with was not her husband. She was living in adultery is where she was at. Can I put it in good old country terms, good old hillbilly terms? She's shacked up. Amen. Amen. A lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people don't like to put it that way. But it's nothing more. She is shacked up with somebody. Amen. She was in her sinful condition. Amen. Now we'd everyone, just like old religious bunch, we'd look down on a pharisaical nose and say, "Oh, I can't believe she'd be that way. I can't she believe she'd do that." You better be careful, amen, because we're just as wretched as she was. Amen. We're just as wretched as that man on death row. Ain't no difference in any of us, amen. We're all, the Bible says, if we erred in one place, we've erred in all the law, amen. We've not kept all the law. So listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. But she had to come to that place that she was. A sinner is where he had to bring her there. So I believe I could say it this way. She had to overcome her past. She had to overcome all the things. She had to overcome that and realize where she's at. Then she had to overcome her present. She had to realize that she was in her adultery. She was in her sins exactly where she is at. Now I can notice on down in the scripture, notice with me the next verse. Verse number 19. Not only did he know her past, he knew her present. But can I say this? He knew her praise. I want you to notice in this, I believe this woman was a religious woman. We look at it sometimes and we see it and we think in our minds, well, she is a harlot. I don't think so. Because she had five husbands, I don't really think that would clarify her there because she was married five times. Now, ain't no, I'm going to say, you figure that out when you go home yourself, okay? But I don't think she was a harlot at this time. Because if you notice in the next scripture, the first thing that she says here in this is, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." And then she begins to talk about where to worship. If you remember back in the other scripture that we read there in verse number 9, she talked about him being Jew and her being Samaritan there. So she knew the difference between the two, religiously speaking. Read with me, if you will, verse number 18 there. Bible says, excuse me, verse number 19. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Hey, some reason she knew that. Amen? As I look at this, I think, would a harlot have said this? Would a harlot? I believe she was kind of a religious. I'm not saying she was one of these Pharisees or Sadducees that went to the temple every day. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that she did have a measure, if you will, or a level of religion there, a level of that worship there, I believe, but it wasn't working. Can I say that? It was not working, okay? So I believe we could say not only did she have to overcome her past, she had to overcome her present, I believe she had to overcome her religion. In other words, what she was trusting in. She perceived that he is a prophet. Oh, I thought about this as I studied this evening. Sitting there in my study, and I thought, wow, how many lost folk out there today perceive Jesus as a prophet? They believe he's a prophet. Even those that Muhammadism and all this and Islam and all these, they believe he was a prophet. That's what they'll say. Listen, that's all right. The devil will allow you to believe that. The devil ain't got a problem whatsoever with you believing that Jesus was a prophet. He ain't got no problem with that. But you go to believing that Jesus was the Son of God, he's got a problem with that. But he was. Amen. When you go to believing that, it changes everything. She looked at him and she didn't know who he was, but she looked at him and said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." In other words, he had told her all about her past. He told her all about her future, her present, if you will. He told her all about it. So therefore, he was a prophet. He done prophesied to her and told her all this. I done perceived that. And then notice, if you will, the first thing she says after this, verse number 20 there. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Boy, the first thing she did, whenever she realized he is a prophet, she wanted to go talking religion. You ever witness somebody and you go talk to them about Jesus, first thing they want to do is want to talk about religion? Huh? That's the first thing they want to do. Huh? They want to debate about religion, okay? Listen, religion will send you to hell. That's just bottom line. Religion will send you to hell. Amen. In this scripture right here, it's not about religion. Amen. It's not about religion. Can I say to you tonight, there'll be Catholics in heaven, there'll be Presbyterians in heaven, there'll be Baptists in heaven, there'll be Free Will Baptists in heaven. I believe there will. I believe there'll be all. Preacher, how are you going to figure that? Because if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they have accepted Him as their Savior, they'll be saved. Amen. But are they right in their doctrine? No. Amen. They're not right in their doctrine. I'm a Bible believer, okay? The reason I'm Baptist is because I believe the Baptist doctrine is as close to this King James Bible as any of the other. Amen. It's closer than any of them. That's the reason I'm Baptist. Amen. I'm going to believe this King James Bible that He gives us. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We're going to stick with the book. Amen. I believe that. But listen, religion and being a Baptist will send you to hell. Can I back it up and go the other direction? Okay. There'll be Baptists in hell. Amen. There'll be Presbyterians in hell. There'll be Free Will Baptists in hell. There'll be Catholics in hell. Amen. All these religions, you listen to me tonight, there'll be some in hell, amen? But those that are born again, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have bowed down and accepted Him as their Savior, those will be the ones in heaven, amen? Thank God. He don't say one or two or three churches. He says the church. Can I say that again? It ain't three or four churches. It's the church, amen? Thank God there's only one church. And what happens is when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess Him and with the mouth confession is made, amen, we believe on Him in our heart, amen, we're saved and we're the ones, amen, that is born again, headed to heaven, amen. As we look in the scripture, she begins to argue religion. She begins to argue about worshiping. The way I do, and I'm just going to be honest with you right here, I don't like to argue religion. I'll be honest with you, I don't. I don't like to argue religion. I like to lay it out there and say, hey, you either believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to hell. It's that simple. You can talk about all these other things if you want to, amen, but you got to get over Jesus, amen. And I've had people look at me and say, well, this religion done this and this doctrine done this and this people done this. Show me something wrong with Jesus. Amen. If you'll show me something wrong with Jesus, I'll back up. Amen. But until you show me something wrong with Jesus, I'm going to believe in Him. Amen. I'm a believer. Amen. I'm going to stick with Him. Amen. Amen. Now, I believe. Now, don't you get me wrong now. I believe in sound doctrine. And I believe the Bible teaches sound doctrine. I believe it does. I believe we're to stand on sound doctrine. I'm not saying that. But I do believe this. I believe when you get saved by the grace of God, religion won't matter. The only thing going to matter is you realize you got to have Jesus to escape hell. Amen. And when you get to that place, you can accept Him. Notice the way she says this. In verse number 20. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem's place where men ought to worship. Notice the word our fathers. Not only does she worry about her religion, but she's worried about her past again, in her fathers. Let me say this. There's many of people that are still trusting in what mom and daddy says. They're trying to get on mom and daddy's coattails.